This episode of Nintendo Dads is brought to you by our amazing patrons over at patreon.com/nintendodads. For as little as a dollar a month, even you can support the show and help us create even more amazing content. We want to thank everyone who supports the show on Patreon. You're the best.
Welcome to Nintendo Dads, episode 54. On tonight's episode, we discuss the Black Friday deals that you should be looking out for. Splatoon wins a BAFTA, and we get closer to Xenoblade's release. Will Zach give in? All this plus other brain teasers and your questions. Zach, cue the music.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Nintendo Dads Podcast. My name is Zach Erickson, and tonight is Wednesday, November 25th, 2015. Joining me tonight, as always, to join for some Nintendo chit-chat is Justin Masson. What's going on, Justin?
Dude, I just got a standing desk, so I am playing with the buttons that make it go up and down right now, and it is awesome!
You actually got like a robo-desk? Like an actual standing desk?
Yeah, my wife and I installed it a couple days ago, so I'm in the middle of this podcast. I'm actually probably going to just transition to standing. Right. So I'm really excited for that. I expect my audio quality and the awesomeness of the show to also raise with my table.
Right on. Speaking of fooling around as well is Jesse Waldack from VGTribune.com. What's going on, Jesse?
Doing good. I'm currently not a...
Uh-oh. The Skype monster got him already.
My normal...
Uh-oh.
Oh, that's not good.
Homeboy's actually streaming the show, too. Are you there, Jesse?
I'm here. And I'm currently in a hotel room out of town, so I'm not sure how well this hotel internet is.
Spoiler alert. Not good.
Right
on. Well, the show must go on, and we hope that Jesse's internet works. He's also patched into his home computer as well, and so for the stream people, that's what's going on.
Amazing.
This is the grit, the highest technology on hotel quality internet. So
I have a bowl of popcorn.
I don't even know what that means. Let's get into the news, shall we? let's get into the news. Maybe. No, don't launch the file. What? Freaking iTunes. All right. Awesome. So the news this week, we are off to a good start. So Black Friday is 2 days from now.
It is.
And we got some deals. We've got all sorts of good stuff going on. I hope everybody goes over to happyholidays.nintendo.com/cyber-deals. I just want to point out to everybody that the war on Christmas is real. Happy holidays and not Merry Christmas. I don't know. That's a joke. I don't actually believe that. Right. Got really political all of a sudden.
Well, we're on Merry Christmas. If any of you in the sound of my voice are artists and would love to do a feature drawing, we've always made fun of my Mario. Can we do a Mario Christmas drawing?
Oh,
please, where Mario is dressed up as Santa and saying Mario, Mario.
That'd be great.
Please, if you are an artist, I know we have a couple in our community. Please hit me up on Twitter or Facebook or email us and make that happen, because, and you know what? Hey, you know what? We'll publish that as a print on our shop.
Oh, hey, have you started working on that shop?
I'm working on it.
Oh, okay. I was just more saying that was something that I felt like I probably should be doing.
But... Oh, we both are. We both are.
We both should be. Okay, cool. Right on. So Black Friday deals are on their way. The eShop sale launched today, and it's going on for, what, a week?
Yeah, go sell next Wednesday.
Yeah, so let's talk a little bit about the eShop deals first. First of all, we've got I don't know, we're not going to go through every single one of them, but there's a considerable amount of games, a considerable number of games that are on sale, both on the 3DS and the Wii U.
You know what, Zach? Yeah. Let's just do a quick rundown.
All right.
I got the list. Let me write it down for you.
All right.
First one: Zelda Wind Waker HD. Now these are on the Wii U. So Zelda, Wind Waker HD, Metroid Fusion, Don't Starve, The Giant Edition,
Captain Toad Treasure Tracker, Shantae and the Pirate's Curse, Rain Man Legends, Adventures of Pip, Pushmo World, Kirby's Return to Dreamland, Teselgrad, Chariot, Donkey Kong Country Tropical Freeze, Star Fox Command, Never Alone, SteamWorld Dig, Pikmin 3, Art of Balance, Trine 2, The Director's Cut, The Wonderful 101, Mario Golf, Child of Light, Black, Little Inferno, Mutant Muds Deluxe, and Scram Kitty. My gosh, and that's just the Wii U.
And we've got some virtual console games as well. We've got Kirby's Return to Dreamland. Did you say that?
I did.
Metroid Fusion, Star Fox Command.
Yeah, I did say those. Did you pay attention?
I was looking up other stuff, dude.
You're killing me here.
is there anything that you guys are specifically on the Wii U that you're looking at getting or have already gotten?
Well, I think it's first and foremost, I think it's a pretty good list, actually.
I think so, too.
Like, there's a lot of things here that if I didn't have, I'd already be leaning into wanting to get. So, for example, if you haven't picked up Zelda Wind Waker HD, $35. What are you doing?
Yeah, what are you doing? Like, come on.
Pause the show. Go check it out. That was one of my favorite games. I think I think it's actually my favorite Zelda game of all time.
Wow.
Is Wind Waker
HD.
You
heard it here first,
dude. And that's pretty tight because I love me some Link Between World and A Link to the Past.
Mm-hmm.
Captain Toad Treasure Tracker. That was a huge game for me last year in December. I love that game. That was a great game for me and my kids. So that's a great one. Adventures of Pip. I'm a fan. Teselgrad, I played. I really love that. Donkey Kong Country, Tropical Freeze, Donkey Kong, but still my heart. I love Donkey Kong series. This is a game I have not picked up yet. I want to pick it up. I don't have enough memory in my Wii U. So I have to go either get a memory storage unit, or I need to just buy it on disk. So that's painful for me.
Hmm.
SteamWorld Dig. Oh, we love the guys over at
Image. Oh, cleaning the fridge option.
Yeah, there is clean the fridge. You shut your mouth, though. That fridge is full of tasty food.
Yeah, you don't want
to. I'll eventually get to. SteamWorld Dig. Obviously, this is a good get you warmed up for SteamWorld Heist coming up. Pikmin 3. Oh, that's a fantastic game.
Oh, so good. Did you pick that game up, by the way?
Sorry?
You've gotten it now, haven't you?
No, I demoed it, and I really want to pick it up. So
no,
I was gonna,
so
again, this is a great example of, like, if I had space in my hard drive, I mean, between Donkey Kong Country and Pikmin, boom.
You got to get them, man. They're like, Pikmin 3 is probably, like, it was one of those early games on the Wii U that I was, like, that I just fell in love with. It's still one of my favorites on the Wii U.
It's amazing.
I've been wanting to go back and play that again.
Mm-hmm.
Especially with the idea of Pikmin 4 maybe being on the horizon, like, what are you doing?
Well, it's interesting too, right? With some of these games that they've chosen to put out there, like of all the games that you could put out there on Wii that are on Virtual Console, Metroid Fusion, which is probably warming us up for Federation Force, and then Star Fox Command, preparing us for Star Fox Zero, right? I actually picked up Star Fox Command. We're going to talk about it in a little bit, but should be pretty good. What is this? What? I don't understand. I don't know what that message means, Justin. Oh, if you're seeing the video, sorry, live. Let me live commentate on this, and apparently, like, the commentary is, I mean, it's just completely derailed the show, and I bet you he probably didn't even want it to. But Justin's standing desk, he is now standing. Wow. That's incredible. Now, did you just climb that beanbag to get up? All right. Cool.
I did, my friend, I did.
Oh, wow. You were suddenly much farther away from your microphone, too.
Yeah, I'm fixing that. Hold on.
Okay, so, I'll talk about Star Fox Command in a little bit, but I did pick that one up. As for 3DS, here, let me read these ones off. Fire Emblem Awakening, Monster Hunter 4 Ultimate, Donkey Kong Country Returns. Why does this say Tropical Freeze again for 3DS? That's not right.
I've got the actual list that has the proper words.
Luigi's Mansion Dark Moon.
Probably Donkey Kong Country Returns 3D.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
Which is $10.
What else, Justin?
Box Boy is on there.
Oh, I almost bought Box Boy. Is it good?
You should. It's good. Okay. I'd recommend it. For $3.50, can't go wrong. Striker Gunvolt, Phoenix Wright, Shantae and the Pirate's Curse, Crash Mo, Kid Icarus Uprising, Run Factory 4, 3D, Sonic the Hedgehog, Metroid, so the original Metroid for NES, 3D Outrun,
Mario and Donkey Kong Minis on the Move, Punch-Out featuring Mr. Dream, SteamWorld Dig, Mario Golf World Tour, 1001 Spikes, Inazuma 11?
That's that soccer RPG.
Oh, is it? Retro City Rampage DX and Mutant Muds plus Cesta Fiesta?
Okay.
So that's a powerful lineup as well.
By the way, in addition to the ones that are currently listed by Nintendo, there are also all of the Guild games are on the eShop as well. I personally would recommend, if you like Jesse, what's the dude who did like Totoro and the anime guy?
Ask again. I just got dropped and joined the call.
The Japanese anime director who did like Totoro and Kiki's Delivery Service. Is it Kiki's Delivery Service?
Anime
Spirited
guy?
Away. Anyway, you know that sort of.
Oh. Studio Ghibli?
Yes. Yeah. If you like that kind of story, you should go pick up Attack of the Friday Monsters if you haven't played that yet. It's $3 right now on the eShop. It's basically like a sort of interactive novel, sort of coming of age story it's pretty cool and fun, and it's more of like an interactive sort of novel sort of story. It's not like a visual novel like pictures. It's you do run around the town, but you basically just go through this story. It's pretty fun.
Nice.
If you're looking at that, also Liberation Maiden is kind of, it's a little short, but it's fun. And for $3, it's cool. So
what are we, you know, on this 3DS list here, what are you guys recommending or what's standing out to you, or maybe piqued your interest?
I think of the, and this is going to come as no surprise to listeners of the show that have been around for a while, but, I actually recently went into my activity log again and two of these games are in my top five for the amount of time that I played them. I played Kid Icarus Uprising and Fire Emblem Awakening each for, I want to say 50 hours. I don't think I did Kid Icarus Uprising for quite that much, but Fire Emblem Awakening I did.
That's incredible.
Yeah, so both of those games are easily in my top five for the 3DS.
Now, as I recall, Zach, Kid Icarus Uprising was one of the games very closely tied to the release of the 3DS when it came out, and it was like controller hell, was it not? Like, it's a hard game to navigate.
It's not as bad as some people. Like, some people had a lot harder time with it than others.
The game came with a kickstand.
Yeah, but that was for sissies. I don't know. I don't know. I never used it. I actually really liked the controls. Once you learned how to use the controls the way they were intended to be used, they actually provided really, really precise control that you wouldn't have been able to even get from a dual joystick sort of control, because you were actually, it's the closest thing that I have experienced on a console to like a keyboard and mouse control, like that kind of precision. The reason that it's more difficult is because you're also holding the system in your hand. So you're holding the entire weight of the system with your left hand. You're using the L button to shoot. You're using the circle pad to move your character around, and then you're using the stylus to aim within. While you move around independently of your movement. So the tricky part was learning how to do that while basically holding the system.
Sorry, Zach,
with one
did we lose
hand.
You?
No, I'm still here. Are you?
Hello?
I'm still here. Hang on. Pause it. Hang on. Okay, we're back. So Jesse had to bow out. We're back. Are we back?
We are back.
All right.
Jesse's gone.
Jesse's bowed out. His internet
him and his weird beard are out. So it's just the Zach and Justin show tonight. But I think we can do this. I think we can carry on without Jesse.
I think we can. All right. So And again, we don't have a ton to go through. This might be a short show tonight, dude.
Might be. So the 3DS lineup. So you're saying Fire Emblem Awakening.
Fire Emblem Awakening out. And Kid Icarus Uprising. There's so much grief that that game gets, but it's so good. I love it. I don't know what else here, honestly.
So I'm excited.
Sonic the Hedgehog, Sega Boy in me is saying that.
Yeah? Okay. So for me, things that stand out here. So Fire Emblem Awakening, it does interest me, but I don't know if I'd like it, and that's a problem. Like,
Have you tried the demo?
There's a demo?
Oh, dude, there's totally a demo.
Okay, then I need to download this demo.
Yeah, go download the demo and see how you feel about it, and then come back to me.
Then report back. All right. I love that idea.
Yeah.
I did pick up Luigi's Mansion Dark Moon, which nice. I'm excited about. Box Boy, like I said, I played that before. That was an early
game. Yeah, I think I might pick. Year. We were talking pre-show. I think I might actually pick that up.
Do it. It's well worth the $3.50. I mean, that's less than a Starbucks coffee.
There you go.
Think about that. Striker Gunvolt, I enjoy. It's kind of Mega Man esque or ish. Have you played Striker or Azuri Striker Gunvolt?
Striker Gunvolt. I think I have the demo.
Did you? I said Azuri and Siri just went off.
Yep.
That was awesome. Thank you, phone. I appreciate that. What can I help you with?
Mm-hmm.
Shantae and the Pirate's Curse. Now, you and Jesse have played a lot of that.
I've played a little bit of that. Yeah, I got to like the third one there. Yeah, it's like a Metroidvania, you know. If you want Metroidvania, then that's definitely doable.
Where to go, right?
Yeah.
Now, speaking of Shantae and the Pirate's Curse, did I see today that Way Forward made a level for Mario Maker and the unlock is Shantae?
I haven't. I don't know. Is that a thing?
We should find that out.
I don't know. What is this? Some sort of news thing? I don't know. I'm launching it right now.
All
right.
You do that. What else is in here? SteamWorld Dig.
Yeah.
SteamWorld Dig. We've talked about that one before. That's a great game. It's a great game no matter what. Mario and Donkey Kong Minis on the Move. That was one of my favorites from last year, so I'd be one to check out. 1001 Spikes. Have you tried 1001 Spikes there, Zach?
I have not. No.
So it's an interesting premise. It's an 8-bit game. And you have 1,001 lives, and your objective is to kind of get through the levels, and the game is done when you lose the 1,001 lives.
Hmm.
So the level design is really hard. Like it's kind of like, you know, you make it 5 feet, you get killed by a trap. Next time you try it, you do it, you figure out how to, you know, get those 5 feet, miss that trap, then get killed by another trap. Do you know what I mean? So it's very kind of like it's decoding the level as you go.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a very interesting game conceptually. The challenge that I have with it is like it's kind of the reverse of the, like, I mean, every game the objective is to win, but this game is to win without just dying.
Mm-hmm.
But they give you such an enormous amount of lives that you also kind of feel like, oh, I have 1,000 lives, so I can do foolish things, right? So I found it very challenging. And it's a game that you can very easily get frustrated with, where you're like, okay, I'm done, right? Like,
mm-hmm.
If I burned 10 more guys on this level, I'm done for now. So that's something to think about as well. So it might be an interesting game to pick up. That one was actually available both on the Wii U and the 3DS, so you might want to see that.
Hmm.
Retro City Rampage DX, actually a good friend of the show, Cash Lush, downloaded this yesterday.
Oh, no.
I know, because he's like, what do you think? I was like, oh, dude, that's...
You knew the eShop sale was coming.
Oh, that's the problem sad. Is you don't know what's on there, right?
Yeah, you never know.
Mutant Muds is interesting. So Mutant Muds is from...
I have played that. That's Renegade Kid, I think.
Thank you. Renegade Kid, which we love for
Zeo Drifter.
I picked up Mutant Muds on the Wii U, I think the first time it was on sale, but I only played a couple levels of it. I was like, oh, this is really good. But again, I probably play more portable than I do... My portable gaming is more for me, where my home console is more for my family in that play. So I actually picked it up on here first on sale for $4.49 for my 3DS because I really enjoyed Zeo Drifter and I enjoyed what I played of Mutant Muds. So I thought, you know, it isn't a cross-buy. I don't have the option to just do that. So I may as well just pick it up, support the developer, and give them a bit more money too. So, yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. So right. those are the digital ones.
Mm-hmm.
There are some other good sales that are kind of going on through actually like going to the local stores as well. So... You know, make sure you check out your Best Buys, your EB Games, your GameStops, and let us know what sweet deals you have found as well. So, yeah, and obviously there's also that amazing bundle out there of Splatoon, Super Smash Brothers, and a Nintendo Wii U Black 32 gig for, what is it, $250?
$250 US, yeah.
Yeah, that's tremendous, guys. Like, if you don't have one,
then what are you doing?
Yeah, if you're like on the fence, that is your tipping point. It ain't gonna get sweeter than that. So make sure you do that as well. There's also some good sales on 3DSs, but I don't see any like good deals on the new 3DS XLs. I see a lot of like.
I think I saw some in Canada actually.
Did you? Okay.
I can't remember where though. Let me see.
You know what? I actually found it. Save $30 suggested retails on the black or red new 3DS XL. For $200 at Best Buy, EB Games, and Amazon. And the new Nintendo 3DS XL Hyrule Edition is now for $299, $229 available exclusively to EB Games. So, yeah, but I have seen like a lot of like black Nintendo 3DS XL bundled with Super Mario Land 3D Walmart for $250.
Cool.
So, yeah, I mean, if you're okay with last year's hardware, it's not bad. I also see purchase a new Nintendo 2DS Mario Kart 7 bundle or Nintendo 2DS Yokai Watch bundle for $90 at Toys R Us.
Wow, not bad.
No, so some good deals out there, buddy.
Right on, dude. So, and go check it out. Let us know at Nintendo Dads on Twitter what sort of sweet deals have you been getting over the week. The weekend, all that jazz. So right on.
And if you're an amiibo collector too, I've seen some places like Toys R Us which are doing like buy two amiibos, get one for free.
Mm-hmm.
So you know that's just helping your addiction.
That's pretty awesome. Right on. So next up is Splatoon getting a BAFTA.
Yeah.
What is the award here? Okay.
What is the BAFTA?
This weird bronze mask looking thing.
Yeah, it's a bit weird.
It's a little weird.
Won't lie to you on that one. Yeah, let me actually just grab that article. Bear with me 1 second here. But essentially, the point here is that Splatoon did win an award for being a kids game, actually. For I think it was the best kids game of the year from the UK, actually.
Wow, so it says best game.
Yeah, best game.
Went up against it's a children's awards, right? So going up against other games such as Minecraft, Yoshi's Woolly World, Adventure Time, Game Wizard, and Nintendo Splatoon is the one that won over those ones. So yep. Over Minecraft, dude, that's wow,
that's massive.
That's a pretty big win.
Yeah, that's I think again that goes back to you and I have been playing this game since May, and we've been playing it pretty actively with our kids as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, actually, it's interesting. My oldest daughter, Rylan, this weekend said to me, she's like, "Hey, we haven't played Splatoon for a couple months. Can we play that?" And I was like, "Sure, let's jump in there." So I was really, happy to jump back in there with her, and she loved it. Still loves it. Like, you know, it's just such good. It's such a great game to re-enter. And the computer does a really good job of, again, matching with people who are approximately your same ranking, right? Like, I didn't feel like we're getting overwhelmed. We haven't played online for about 2 months. It was kind of like riding an old bike, right? Just got in there, knew what was going on. Took about probably half a minute to re-remember, strategy, and I was off the races. But, BAFTA, this BAFTA award, I think, is massive. I think for Nintendo, I think... There are primary franchises that Nintendo does. So this is Mario, this is Zelda, this is Metroid.
Mm-hmm.
There are tertiary ones where they invest some time and energy in. So I'm thinking like Pikmin. You could probably make the argument of Chibi Robo, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think when you bring in a new series like Splatoon, you don't know where it's going to land, right? You have no idea. But like this was also nominated in the Game Awards as one of the best shooters of the year.
Hmm.
Actually, let me pull up the Game Awards list. That's a good one.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
What were we thinking?
Sheesh. Yeah, that's next. That will be
week. That's December 3rd.
Yeah, it's coming next week.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Let me actually just grab the. But again, my point here that I'm really trying to make is that, this. You said it last year. You were like, "Oh, I'm really looking forward to Splatoon." I'm like, "You're weird. Like, this looks crazy. I don't know what's going on." This, I think, is probably one of the best. For me, and I mean, we're not doing our we are not doing our current, you know, what's the top games of 2015 for yourself. But to me, this was in my list.
Mm-hmm.
Splatoon might easily be the game of the year for me.
Hmm.
Yeah. So let's grab the video game award nominations. How about that?
Right on. While you're doing that, what's this business here? We'll come back to those in a second here. But what's this Xenoblade Chronicles? That's coming out.
Yeah. So we are on the fringe. What is that? The
December 4th?
The Friday the 5th. So I want to have a bit of a chat with you about that and talk about, you know, are you on the tipping point? Are you going to go for this?
I don't know, dude. It's such a huge game that I had this realization, like, I'm like 5 hours into Xenoblade Chronicles 3D, right? And so I'm like, do I really need to buy this game if I'm only 5 hours into 3D? I don't know. Like, I feel like where do I land on that? I'm not sure. I'm excited about it, but I'm not entirely sure. Ugh, I'm so torn right now.
I think this is the challenge. I was thinking about it recently. The challenge, and especially as I was, you know, hitting the buy button on these sale items,
mm-hmm.
the challenge with gaming, right? And I know what's on the horizon for 2016, what I'm excited about, but like, how big does our back catalog get?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, are we becoming digital hoarders of content? Because, you know, like, I was looking at my Wii U and there are tons of games on there that I was like, oh, it's on sale, I'll pick that up. Or, man, that sounds really good. Or, yeah, Zach's played it and that sounds awesome, so I'll download it so I know that experience. And then I'm like, but am I going back and playing it?
Mm-hmm.
Right? So we're really good to be super hyped about the shiny thing that's on the, like, on the horizon. It gets here, you know, you buy it, you spend a couple hours with it, and then it's kind of shoved off to the side for the next thing. And I think, you know, are we doing ourselves a disservice and both the game developers, the producers, the people who put their time and energy in this, if we're not, I don't want to say fully immersing ourselves, but giving that content its due,
mm-hmm.
right? Like we've heard that, you know, you don't get the robots, the skells.
The skells
in
40
hours. I don't remember, Zach, I really don't, a game that I have played for a total of 40 hours in my life, right? Maybe, and if so, it's a casual game, right? Like, it's maybe, you know, Mario Kart, right? Where it's pick up and play, and it's not story based, right? Now these massive RPGs, right? You're not getting a skill for 40 hours. Like, that's, I can't fathom that.
Well, and the thing is too, the reason that I stopped, I realized I went back to Xenoblade Chronicles 3D. I'll just talk about it now, but the reason that I stopped was because at 5 hours in, I realized, holy crap, I need to grind already. Like, in an RPG, right? I need to grind and level up because I'm getting my butt kicked on against basic monsters already. And so that's not fun to die. You know what I mean? And yep. so now I'm like, I am enjoying this game. I want to play it some more. I'm to the point now where I don't think this is a day one purchase for me. I may change my mind on that, but the one thing that has got me changing my tune a little bit is always seeing this game in motion, you know?
Right.
And seeing the graphics that are involved. It's just absolutely gorgeous. And that's really the one thing that is kind of bringing me back into potentially playing this game.
Yeah, and that's a challenge, right? Like it is a beautiful game. There's no doubt about it. And there has been countless amounts of hours and time put into it to make it as pretty as it is. But to your point, right? Like is it the hype around it?
Mm-hmm.
Like how often are we sucked into that hype train to purchase something that really, you know, we don't need to be purchasing? I don't say we don't need to be purchasing, but, you know, are we really doing anyone a service, or are we just adding to a catalog, and then are we just basically denying the other things that are existing, right? Like, so here's a great example. I picked up on sale, what was it? Sorry. Guacamelee, right? I have not touched that game. I really haven't.
Yeah, I got it in like that Humble Bundle or whatever. I played like 10 minutes of it.
My wife, for Easter 2 years ago, got me Assassin's Creed 3 on the Wii U. On sale for like $20. I was super stoked for it. I was like, oh, Assassin's Creed. I've never played an Assassin's Creed game ever. So I was like, I really want to do this. It's American Revolution stuff. I totally love like East Coast Boston area. totally up my alley. Played that for a total of like 30 minutes. And then something else shiny came up, and I was like, oh, I will play that.
Yeah. Right?
I have Batman Origins sitting in my queue. I actually have downloaded, because I picked it up on a sale again, Assassin's Creed 4, Black Flag. And I picked up because I was like, oh, surely I'll play 3 and finish that, and I will like it, so I'll just buy 4, and I will, because it's on sale, I'll do this now. And I'm like, what? And literally 6 weeks ago, I have not played it, but I had to delete it off my Wii U because I need more space for another game I just downloaded that I haven't played.
Mm-hmm.
And there's just kind of weird, I thought today to myself today, I'm like, what would happen if I just decided not to buy a game, any games for an entire year, and just focus on your back catalog, and you have to spend an entire year clearing your back catalog. You can't buy any game for 3DS or Wii U for anything until you have finished everything you currently have. Because I think sometimes as consumers, our eyes are much bigger than our tummies, right? So to say,
mm-hmm.
right? Our eyes are much bigger than the time that we really have. And I think as parents, it's something we struggle with to negotiate time, right? Mm-hmm. You know, like a game like Xenoblade looks beautiful. I'm like, that looks really cool. And I'd love to, I've tried JRPGs before.
Mm-hmm.
And I just haven't quite got into it. And I'm like, maybe I'm just not dedicating the time and the resourcing to it. And I'd love to I can sink 50 hours in that game. I can do that. Realistically, I know I can't do that.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, and
am I just burning money, and am I burning time? And then am I like, you know, when someone's like, hey, what do you think of this game? Am I really able to give it a proper due? Right. Am I able to say like, yeah, you should definitely pick it up. Or I'm like, yeah, it's okay. I don't know. Am I going on a rant?
No, I think yeah, just the flip side of that too, and I guess it really depends on the kind of game you're playing too, right? Like, on just the
Zach, I'm losing you a lot.
Oh, are you? Okay. Can you hear me? Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? I'm here.
Yeah, I can hear you. Yeah.
Okay. So yeah. The flip side of that is basically, are you in?
You're cutting out again.
Oh, come on, dude. Okay, we're back. Computer's doing weirdness. Let's anything else you want to talk about with this? Oh, I was going to give the counterpoint to what you were saying.
Yep.
The idea being that, like, I think with Xenoblade Chronicles and with like an RPG, I think you're totally right that you need to kind of decide whether or not you're going to commit or not. There are some games that I feel though that you don't really need to finish them in order to feel like you had a good time with them. Or that, you know, like I got like 5 or 10 hours out of this game and that was worth it to me. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And so I think you're right, but I also think that depending on the game, like I think Xenoblade, if you're not going to play to the point where you get the actual, the skills in Xenoblade Chronicles X, then why are you buying this game?
Yeah.
Right. Especially if you have a new 3DS, which I know not everybody does, but if you have a new 3DS XL, pick up Xenoblade Chronicles 3D first is kind of my thinking on it.
Yeah. And to be honest, I was actually hoping that game was going to be on sale on the Cyber sale, because that was the game I was like, you know what? I don't think I can commit to it on the Wii U, but I want to try it. So maybe the 3DS is that entry point that I feel comfortable going into. So, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just going to tell Jesse here, too many internet issues.
Yeah.
We'll have to scrap the live show.
Yeah, no kidding. But I do think, you know, Zach, you raised the question. We've raised it before in some other episodes. You know, we were asked, you know, do you always 100% or complete your games? You know, we play it until we enjoy it, right? Or until, I don't even say necessarily until we've stopped enjoying it, right? Because, I mean, I go back to like Smash Brothers. I enjoy it. Have I 100% in Smash Brothers? No. But I continue to kind of peck away at it when I do, and that's just a fun game, right?
Yeah.
It goes back to what is your objective when playing?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're a completionist for 100% and you have to unlock everything, I mean, you can do that. And I think it's definitely, you know, are you getting the full value of your dollar out of your gaming? And I agree with that, right? But I also agree that sometimes we get caught in this like loop of what's the next shiny thing on the horizon, right? Unfortunately, like, I mean, I downloaded these games today and I was like, yes, I'm going to play them. And I have them there. And I guess the other part of it is like, I have the access to them. And I think sometimes that's the thing to us as gamers that's really important is like, I have the access to that game when I want to play it. right? So, you know, am I going to be jumping to play Dark Moon right away? Well, I don't know, but like at least now I have it. It's in my queue and I can play it when I want to, which is a great place to be at. But then I also, I'm aware of like, hey, on the horizon, you know, Paper Mario or Mario Paper Jam is coming up in January, and I want to play that. And then I've got, you know, Pokemon in February. Yes, I'll be playing the Pokemon game, right? Mm-hmm. You know, so there's these kind of things that are on the horizon that you're like, you know, to live the life where I can be like, all I'm going to do is play a game for an entire month, and that's, you know, kind of wipe my way of it, and then that's it, move forward. Like, it's so rare that happens, right? You just kind of look at these game collections, these cases, or these digital quantities that we've created that are now like, you know, one day they feel like I'm saving up for like the apocalypse.
Yeah. There are very few games. I can tell that I really, really enjoyed a game when I actually take the time to finish it.
Yeah.
Like this year, games that I actually did that, Yoshi's Woolly World. I finished the campaign in Splatoon. I did the, what was it? I did the, Codename Steam. I finished the campaign in Codename Steam. I feel like that's about it as far as games that I actually finished.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, and that's, you know, like the new campaign with Shovel Knight.
Right.
So, yeah. Yeah, for sure. I totally agree. And that's, I think that is what is holding me up with Xenoblade. I put so little time into Xenoblade Chronicles 3D so far this year that I feel like I can't justify it to myself to buy Xenoblade Chronicles X yet.
That's a good point.
So
that's a great point.
So I feel like if I beat Xenoblade Chronicles 3D and I am feeling more, then I will probably get it. But for now, I'm probably going to hold off. Which is sad. I know that I did wanna cover it for the show, but at some point, man, like ain't nobody got time for that. You know what I'm saying?
I gotcha.
Right on. Should we head into what we've been playing?
Well, I did pull up that list.
Oh, okay. Let's do that real quick.
So this is the Game Awards 2015 nominees. Now, the Video Game Awards are going to be held by, this is Jeff Keighley, and this is on December 3rd. We had an announcement today that there are going to be 10 unannounced or 10, what was a 10?
10 game reveals game, and 10 awards or
10
something.
10 trailers, right? For video games?
Yeah.
We'll come back to that in a second, but here is the, so I'm going to just extract where Nintendo was, game of the year. So, Bloodborne, Fallout 4, Metal Gear Solid, Super Mario Maker, and The Witcher. So Nintendo was in the game of the year for Mario Maker, developer of the year.
No way they win that, by the way.
No, there's no way. It's like one of these things just ain't like the other. Yeah,
totally.
Developer of the year, Bethesda, CD Projekt Red, From Software, Kojima Productions, and Nintendo.
Again, no way they win that. No. Nope.
Yep. No, absolutely not. So again, I'm not listing off all the stuff here, guys. I am just scrolling through and finding where Nintendo was mentioned. Best Shooter, Call of Duty, Black Ops 3, Destiny, The Taken King, Halo 5, Splatoon, Star Wars Battlefront.
Best Mobile Game, by the way, Monster Hunter 4 is in there.
Is it?
Yeah.
It is. It is too. Sorry. Yeah, that's right.
I think Monster Hunter 4 Ultimate, actually that, I don't know if that has a shot of winning. I don't think it's mainstream enough.
No, but I thought Best Shooter Splatoon. Great job.
Yeah, no, that's good.
Kind of going through here.
I don't know if there's anything here that's like.
Best. Here we go. Here's Nintendo's category. Best Family Game, Disney Infinity 3.0, Lego Dimensions, Skylanders Supercharges, Splatoon, and Super Mario Maker.
Mm-hmm.
Best Multiplayer, Call of Duty's Black Ops 3, Destiny the Taken King, Halo 5, Rocket League, and Splatoon.
Hmm.
Yeah, so those were the nominations that Nintendo was included in. I mean, you know, it's good they're at the party.
Mm-hmm.
And it's good, you know, and I think it's pretty awesome that Splatoon and Mario Maker kind of made those hits. That's not a shock, considering what you know. Those were kind of the big tent poles for Nintendo for the year. What was shocking was that they definitely did not suspect that Splatoon would do what it did.
Mm-hmm.
Right, that was an unknown quantity. So that was really quite, I think, a big deal for Nintendo. And I think it, you know, I'm interested to see what their next version of Splatoon will look like. But the Video Game Awards, and that's going to occur again here on December the 3rd. December 3rd, right? Yeah, December the 3rd. The Game Awards 2015 will have 10 world premieres and 10 onstage awards. So 10 world premieres. Zach, my fingers are crossed we're actually going to finally see Zelda Wii U.
Yeah, I think so too. I think they'll actually show it. I've joked that it's going to be Miyamoto and Aonuma on that same white couch. I think that would be hilarious if they did that, but I don't know if they actually will. I think Zelda Wii U, I think they're going to show off something that we don't know about. Maybe they'll actually show off, maybe they'll announce another Smash Brothers character.
Could be.
As you know, maybe that's something they could do as well.
Or Pikmin 4.
Pikmin 4, maybe, yeah. I don't know if that's splashy enough for the Game Awards, though.
It's a good point. It's a great point,
actually. I don't think that has enough broad appeal. I think Nintendo fans would go crazy, but I don't think anybody else would.
Sure.
Should we head into what we've been playing?
Let's do it.
All right. So I'm going to go first this week, if it's all right with you.
Of course.
I already talked about Xenoblade. I think that's worth noting. But Xenoblade Chronicles 3D, that game is hard to... I don't know. I feel like I need to go back and find some weaker monsters and play it for like an hour and just grind up my level a little bit so that I'm stronger and then maybe I'll enjoy it more. I'm in this place where I run into some bad guys and I fight them and I die every time. So I feel like I need to get a little bit more built up and then maybe that game will be more fun. So that's where I'm at there. And then, just this afternoon, I picked up Star Fox Command, which was originally for the DS. And it is, it's a Star Fox game. It's interesting because the game, I've only done the tutorial in the first mission, but what's interesting about this game, what Star Fox games have you played before, Justin?
Star Fox 64.
Okay.
And Star Fox for the SNES.
Okay. So what's interesting about this is, you know, in Star Fox 64, they have all range mode, right? Mm-hmm. Where it's like the 3D, it's like you can do the full 360. It's not on rails. The game consists of two parts so far. The first level, at least, has two different parts. You have a sort of like overhead map view. And it's a turn-based game, so you have different squads on your map, and you have to draw a path with your stylus for where Star Fox is going to fly on the map. Just like this overhead view, draw a line to where the squad of bad guys is. And then when you actually intercept them, then you go into this the actual Star Fox sort of traditional fighting or flying type gameplay. It's only all range mode, my understanding, for the entire game. And it's touch screened controls, which is interesting. So the actual flying, you kind of go up and down using the stylus on the touch screen. And so if you want to go up, you drag the stylus up. If you want to go down, you drag the stylus down and, you know, that sort of thing. And then if you want to shoot, you press the D-pad. And if you want to do a barrel roll, then you kind of like swipe back and forth on the screen, and there are some buttons on the bottom screen as well that will do like your sort of, you know, flip around, do like a 180 and turn around and go the opposite way, or if you do just like a full sort of 360 loop thing, you know, like in Star Fox 64. So I haven't played a ton yet. What's interesting too is this is the first DS virtual console game that I've played. And I really feel like depending on the game that you're playing, you really have to you have to figure out which visual screen layout you want to use. Right. I eventually landed on like the classic sort of like you would expect top screen on the TV, bottom screen on the gamepad. Mm-hmm. But I mean, depending on what game you're playing, you can do all sorts of things. I kind of wish that you could do like the one option I wish that I had. What you can do is have the top screen really big and then a small version of the bottom screen. But it mirrors on both screens. What I really wish you could do is have on the actual TV, have the top screen be really big and then have a little version of the bottom screen and have on your gamepad a big version of the bottom screen with a little version of the top screen. You know what I mean? So because if you were normally playing this game, you're playing it on a DS and you can see both screens at the same time. You can't do that when you're looking up and down from the gamepad. And so just because there's more, you know, there's more range of motion, and that's not really the, you know, there's no more movement that you have to do with your head to look up and down. So I wish that that was the option, but it's not. You basically have to, it's like an either or, it's mirrored regardless, unless you do TV is top screen, you know, gamepad is bottom screen. So it's all right. I like the game though. I really, I'm interested to see it for $5. I'm like, it's on sale right now, $5. It holds off my, my Star Fox itch for a little while longer. So, I'm really looking forward to that. So that is basically what I've been playing this week.
Nice. Excellent. Does it really hold off that itch though? And is it, does it hold it off long enough for April 22nd?
I don't know. It's I've been eyeing this one for a while actually. And so to see that it went on sale, I was like, oh, that's a no brainer then.
We were talking about this in the pre-show. Like it's kind of weird that it's a DS game that you can't get on the DS.
Yeah. It's weird that the DS virtual console is so, the DS virtual console is so like, why is it not on the 3DS? Right. Mm-hmm. It's not like if you have a DS cartridge, you can literally put it right in there and play any DS game you want. And so why is it that they don't have DS virtual console games? I have no idea.
Yeah. That seems
especially
like
since DSiWare is, you can get, right.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I don't know.
For myself, what have I been playing? I've been playing, some Super Mario Maker, some more of that. I'm playing some of the event levels, that have been recently put out, and I am really enjoying some of those content creators, the levels they're putting out for the event level. So I played, Yoshi is Awesome recently, which
That was awesome. I loved that level.
That one really was like, they did such a great job of, I enjoy a level that makes you like every level should make you think. Right. But it's not as simple as like, you know, jump onto these five guys to jump the chasm. It's like, how do I move this thing from here to there? Right. What's the MacGuffin? In this case, right. The MacGuffin is Yoshi and how you use him to get you from point A to point B. And I thought that was really brilliant. It took me a fair time to finish that level. But like when I was done, like I felt like I accomplished something. So I was really excited for that. Interestingly enough, I watched Andre Seager do the level as well, and I'm kind of like, oh, you know, what he did it in a little bit different way than I did, but they both worked, right? Like both were solutions you could get to, and I was quite impressed with that one.
This is the one where you like basically trigger at the beginning of the level, you trigger Yoshi to run along the conveyor belt and whatever, yep. Right?
Yeah. So I mean, I thought just a really well executed level. I appreciate that one. And then some of the other ones in there as well. I was playing the PAX West, model, level. So that was really cool. Some really great attention to detail and kind of like fun, how do you make Seattle out of Mario blocks? So I thought that was very cool. Playing a little bit of, came back to Splatoon. Again, I mentioned that a couple moments ago after being gone for 2.5 to 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
Man, love that game. I need to go jump back in and play those new like levels that have been released and new weapons. And I just kind of realized like how much the game has grown in the 3 months I was gone, but not how much necessarily the gamers have changed, right? The you know, they're not necessarily better because they do a great job of setting with people who are about the same ranking as you. But I was like, hey, these are very new costumes. Oh, that's a cool weapon. And I've seen them come in my Twitter feed, and I've retweeted them, but I haven't gone and played them. And just, you know, I've just got to spend some more time going back to Splatoon, which is, you know. But again, we talked about value for money, right? Like, yeah, I feel like I got my $60 out of that.
Oh, yeah.
Like, exponentially. That game lasted me from, you know, May 29th to when it dropped to basically until Mario Maker came out. That was my go-to game. And have I finished the single player mode? No, not all the way through, like, or the campaign. I think I'm on level 4 or 5. Really loving it. But what I enjoy more is the multiplayer part of it and just how much fun we've had with that, both as a community here from Nintendo Dads, but also with my kids. So that's awesome. And some more Yoshi's Woolly World, right? Just such a beautiful game. Both of my daughters, a couple of days ago, Saturday, my wife and I were having a bit of a lazy kind of morning. And the girls were like, oh, can we play Nintendo or can we play some Yoshi's World World? I was like, that's fine. So my littlest one, my Morgan, she's 5. And so, you know, Rylan and I have been playing Yoshi's Woolly World together, but Morgan and I haven't really played it together. So we put it on mellow mode with the wings.
Nice.
And I was kind of like, there you go. Now the two of you can play together. And they did. They just played for about 30 minutes together. And I was like, this was a really good sisterly experience together, which I was really happy with. Mm-hmm. The biggest thing I got called to help them with, because you're always like, Mom, Dad, come help me with something. And you're like, okay, so who can't get past? They're like, I want to change my Yoshi to look like Rosalina. I was like, okay, this is your concern right now. I get you. So, yeah, lots of fun. Still love that game. If you're upset that you're not playing anything right now in November or December because, you know, you weren't a big fan of Animal Crossing and tennis isn't really highlighting it for you and you're not a big RPG fan, if you haven't picked up Yoshi's Woolly World, what are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
Because even if you're – even like I said before, if you just think, oh, it's a kid's game, it's not going to be difficult, that is a challenging game.
Yeah. Oh, it totally is.
That is challenging no matter what kind of game player you are. So well worth the investment. That's one of my favorite games this year as well.
Totally, dude. Yeah, I totally agree. It's it's so good. I really like that mellow mode. It's fun. It's just totally different. It changes the game a lot. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's pretty fun for sure. So right on. Let's before we head into some listener mail, I do want to talk just for a minute about Patreon. Patreon.com/NintendoDads, of course, is where you can go to support the show. Thanks to our amazing patrons, we are going to have a Retro Rewind episode in December. If you are a patron and you have not gone over to the freshly added straw poll, basically what we did is we had some nominations go up, and now we have the straw poll. So if you are a patron, go over to patreon.com/NintendoDads and look for the straw poll, vote in there. And we will decide. We will announce that on our Facebook and Twitter pages. What are we saying, this Sunday?
This Sunday, yeah. Because we got to start playing.
Yeah. So as of this Sunday, we will announce what the Retro Rewind episode is going to be for December. Right now, it's looking like it's between Link's Awakening, Super Metroid, and Mole Mania were the mm-hmm. were the games that were suggested. So
yeah. And guys, we need, you know, big shout out, big thank you to our Patreon supporters. That episode would not be possible without our tremendous support of our Patreon supporters. And if you think that you're interested in being a Patreon supporter, check us out on patreon.com/NintendoDads. Every dollar helps in any capacity, and we greatly appreciate it. And we appreciate our Patreon supporters who have made that episode possible.
Absolutely. Let's head into the postman.
Do it.
All right. So I will read the first email.
Sure. Now this was actually, we received this a week earlier. So Brandon, we apologize for the delay, but last week's 2.5 hour episode was a little bit long.
Yeah, we had to forego the email. But it says, "Hey dads, there's plenty of talk of the characters who will be in Smash Brothers. My question is, of the current roster, who do you think will not be back next time? I want you guys to give me at least 6 characters collectively, and the DLC characters don't count." Wow, all right. I don't think
so. It's
oh, okay, hang on. SmashBros.com.
Yeah, I gotta go pull up that list right now. So that's three from each of us, hey? Because obviously our good friend Jesse is not here.
Yeah, I'm gonna say first of all, like one of the Pokemon, I'm gonna say not Greninja. No, maybe like Lucario.
Mm-hmm.
Lucario's been in 2 games now. See, like, I think so many of these characters, how do you cut them? You know? Like, how do you cut some of these characters that have been in this game? I can't imagine cutting a lot of them. In fact, I really have a hard time cutting any of them. Dark Pit. There you go. That's an easy one.
All right.
Dark Pit, Dr. Mario.
So I'm going to tell you who I want cut, not who I think they're going to cut.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, who I want them to cut? The Mii Fighters.
Oh, no way, dude.
First, get rid of the Mii Fighters. Second,
here's what I want instead of cutting the Mii Fighters is I want them legitimized. I want to be able to play them online. I think that they had a great idea of having them be super customizable, but then you can't use them online. And I think if you're going to have them, I think they should be fully legitimate characters. Anyway,
that's a valid argument. I'm not saying you're wrong.
Not saying I'm right.
I'm saying you're right, but I'm validating it. I'm validating who you are as an individual because I value you.
Wow.
I actually just hit the wrong button, so I'm actually vamping right now to get my time back. I was like, I hit the wrong button.
Honestly, I don't know. Like, I
Wii
honestly
Fit Trainer.
No way, dude. Well, maybe.
You gotta pick three. Three of these have to go, Zach.
Pac-Man.
I'm making the hard decision for this team. All right.
Here's the question. Is Sakurai still running? Is he still the developer of the game? In this hypothetical.
They gave it to Brandon. Brandon is our new
director.
New director. And he's like, guys, we gotta make some hard cuts.
I think that there are so many characters. I think Lucina gets cut. Because Lucina and Marth are too similar. I think that Dark Pit gets cut. And I mean, I know I'm just talking clones here, but I think Lucina, Dark Pit, and I don't know. I'm just looking at this list. Maybe Palutena, but Palutena's way too complicated. Here's the thing, is that now, whenever they make the game, their development time is much less because the character's already created, the moveset's already created.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I feel like it's actually okay if they come back. I don't think they're going to cut six characters in the next game. I think they're going to come back.
Zero Suit Samus.
Yeah, I could see that. But, yeah. Okay.
Sheik.
Okay.
So far we're saying Sheik is gone, Zero Suit Samus, and I also said the Mii Fighters. Zach, you said Dark Pit,
Lucina,
and Palutena.
Palutena? Maybe, or like Lucario, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, they're not gonna cut Mario. They're not gonna cut Link, right? They've got some bread and butter that they're not gonna, you know, piddle around with.
Yes.
So, tough questions. Brandon is a tough director.
Cutting to the core.
Yeah, he's like, we gotta make some serious cuts here, guys. We have to bring in those new characters.
So I think the other possibility is any third party character.
Third party? Oh,
so I'm talking Mega Man because they have these deals that happen, right? So Pac-Man, Mega Man, Sonic, Ryu, Cloud. I know DLC characters technically shouldn't be in this list, but
that's a little bit of a good question, right? So like, what's the licensing agreement that Nintendo has struck with the third parties?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Is it, you know, we like just because we saw Mega Man this time doesn't mean that like contractually, you know, whoever owns his rights now, I think it's Capcom still, right?
Mm-hmm.
That they don't say like, you know, we lent you Mega Man for, I don't know, X, you know, 300 shingle or shekels, right? Well, by the way, we now want 1 million shekels to bring in Mega Man. You're like, I'm out,
mm-hmm.
right? So we don't know what those third
party contracts. You take your shekels and shove them.
Yeah, we don't know those third party contracts. Shove your shekels. Like, but that actually may be a deciding factor next time.
Yeah.
Right. So,
yeah.
I still think Nintendo should just buy Capcom out.
Yeah. Right on. Very nice. Well, thank you for your question. Awesome. Who read that one? I read this one.
You read that one. So I'll read the next one. How's that sound?
Let's do it.
I love that idea. Perfect. This email is from Holden Moffitt. Hello again. My question this week concerns difficulty. I recently beat Donkey Kong Country Returns 3D, and in the process committed acts of brutal attrition, akin to trench fighting. Pardon the hyperbole. As a whole, the game is an exceptional platformer, but it probably remembered it more for the times I came. But I probably remembered it more for the times it became unglued. The question or questions is, has a game ever made you so mad you're embarrassed by how mad you got? And do you feel that the dichotomy between challenge and fun is circumvented in favor of more difficulty? Is the developer putting the cart before the horse? Granted, blanket statements may be more applicable. P.S. In regards to Justin's question a few weeks ago, I did play Tesla Grad, a unique and beautiful game with some savage difficult spikes. Loved last week's show. Awesome. Thanks, Holden. I appreciate that. So I think Holden's, you know, if I'm summarizing Holden's point here is, you know, game difficulty and challenges versus fun, you know, how do you kind of navigate those tricky waters?
Yeah. Well, I think it depends on the kind of game. Honestly, if I feel like if there is, how do I put this? There is a very interesting line on how intriguing the gameplay is for me, whether or not I get angry. I don't feel like I ever get angry that much anymore. I just will, if I'm really enjoying the game and it's difficult and it's a challenge and I kind of feel like it's a challenge, then I'm pretty okay to stick with it and try to master it. But if I have to feel like each time I'm trying it, I am making progress. Does that make sense? So like I can, like if that it's, sense, if, yeah. if it's like, if every time I try it, I get a little bit further, then that's one thing. And I'm like, all right, I'm going to get there eventually because every time I get a little bit better. But if I am playing and every single time I try to make this specific jump, I die and it feels unfair, then I am very likely to just put the game down and say, forget this. I'm never playing this game again. And so like, I feel like Shovel Knight is a really good example of how that game at times is very challenging, but it never took me more than about 4 or 5 tries to get past a specific area in a level. And so even if I died like 20 times throughout that level, I never got stuck for very long in any one specific part. Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's kind of how that's kind of where I come in there. So
nice.
What about you?
You know, and actually, as you were saying that, it kind of got me thinking, like, and I think maybe we talked about this earlier a couple weeks ago, that may be the crutch of where Mario Maker fell off for some people,
mm-hmm.
right? Because levels weren't being made out of, you know, fun and the growth to see someone get better and to learn and to, but rather kind of just like, how much of a troll can I be? And I think in situations like that, that's when people walk away from gaming, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, Nintendo has always said above everything, above all, gaming is to be fun, mm-hmm. right? And I think that, you know, we you know, it's kind of like this first world problem, you know, like, you know, when do you walk away from playing a video game, this escapism, because you're having too much, it's no longer fun, but it's rather challenging and making you mad. And I think your point is, as long as you feel like there's some development from yourself and you're getting better, you're learning in some ways, then I think it's fine, right? I get mad at like kind of dumb things in games, like poorly designed levels or poor narrative or bad choices in relation to like character plots. Like I get more frustrated at like, okay, that's really bad voice acting. That's really bad like cinematography, right? Because these are stories in a lot of ways. So those things make me mad. I think sometimes when I get mad at a game, I get mad at myself for failing in a spot that I know I should not have failed at.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's like, oh, okay, there's the jump. And you're like, oh, okay, oh my gosh, I just missed that. Okay, I'll do it again. You know, I got it. And you like miss again. And you're like, okay, seriously though, like you've got to make that jump. And then you do it again. You're like, what is wrong with me? Like it's almost like your body is getting fatigued of that thing and it can't do it anymore. Do you mean like if I go to the gym and I do like a whole bunch of squats and then I try and squat, like my body's just like, it's not its peak performance. All of a sudden I feel like maybe my mind and my body isn't at its peak performance to be able to like really figure that thing out right there. Right. So then I'm mm-hmm. like, okay, I have to walk away. Some of the other things that kind of get me frustrated in gaming, I find some of these first person shooters get me frustrated in games and get me mad. And that's kind of the garbage of just online playing sometimes, right? Mm-hmm. Like, and I haven't really experienced that a whole lot in stuff like Splatoon, but I experienced it more like playing Call of Duty or what's that thing? Destiny, right? Where, you know, you go into a match with people who are way higher than you and they have so much more experience and they're just trolly and they're just like, that's where I get mad, because you're ruining my experience of fun. And you're, because remember, if you think about it, video gaming should be an open opportunity area for anyone to come into, right? That's a massive appeal of Nintendo, is that they created a market that allowed a gamer of all ages, any ages, to come in and have fun. Quintessentially, Nintendo's about having fun at the video game level. Where I think, you know, when you look at something like a shooter, you may not have that necessarily, because, you know, you're going in some kid who's in his mom's basement and he's high on Doritos and Red Bull, right? Like, that ain't going to be fun for me. You're all picturing that right now. You know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. He's dope up.
Yeah, exactly. So I think, you know, as it relates to mad, I don't really get mad at games.
I used to get really angry.
Did you rage quit a lot?
Not rage quit. I remember, this is quite a while ago. We played, what was the game? X-Men. It was some X-Men fighting game on like PlayStation 2 that I played back in the day. But yeah. Man, would I get angry playing that game, because I was not very good at it and I would just get angry every time I would lose. But
and I think
that was
a
dark time in my life, though. That was
sure. And I think sometimes when it comes down to like that level of anger, like, are you angry at yourself as the gamer? Are you angry at the game for flawing you in some way? And then are you also angry at the developer? Where, like, who holds that blame? Mm-hmm. Right? Do you all own portions of it, or is it all just you? Do you know what I mean?
I feel like now, though, like, there's a certain level of. And maybe this just comes with time and maturity and all that jazz, but I feel like there comes a time where now I am just like, I've kind of recognized, you know what? This is actually decreasing my quality of life. I'm just not going to play it anymore.
Yeah.
And that's kind of where I've landed recently, where I just don't even, if it's not something that I'm enjoying, I just don't even give it the time of day anymore.
Yeah, and I think that's a little bit of the kind of growing up and maturity as parents and adults, right? Like, you know, I'm a 34-year-old gamer. I've been playing games since I was 8 years old, right? So 25 years of my life. And there was times I'd be definitely like, oh my God, get so frustrated, probably in my teens, right? Or whatever. I'm getting, you know, cheap headshots by someone in GoldenEye. I'm like, come on.
Yeah. If it's not fun, then yeah. I'm just not gonna play it.
If that's the thing I'm getting angry and mad about and upset about, that's awesome, because that's probably the least of my concerns in my world, right? Like,
yeah.
Like, if I'm mad and upset about this, okay, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to turn it off and I'm going to go hang out with my, you know, do something with my kids if they're not already playing with me, right?
Yeah.
And that's the other part, right? Like, how are you, you know, this becomes a much bigger question, Holden, than what you asked, I guess. We're expanding it into the parenting point right now, but like, what are you role modeling as a parent, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I kind of made that joke earlier that, you know, we got Splatoon. My youngest, Morgan, the 5-year-old, she's an angry little gamer. And I don't really know where she gets it from. And I did some self-reflection. I'm like, am I like that when I play games?
But is she learning this behavior from me?
Yeah, I'm like, am I modeling poor video gaming behaviors that she's picking this up? And I'm thinking, I'm like, no, she's not. There's no way. Because I'm not playing... There's no games like that where I'm like, come on, are you serious? Right. So
turns
like
out your wife's like playing Pit Cross or something on your phone.
Yeah,
and screaming.
Come on, Candy Crush, come on. Damn you, Dr. Mario, you yellow virus. So I'm trying to figure out where she's modeling that from. I have some concerns. But like, how do you, you know, what is acceptable behavior? Right. Cause I can guarantee you that if I was like 10 or 12 and I was screaming at my TV screen because I couldn't, you know, finish a level, I can guarantee exactly what my folks would have done. My mom would have walked downstairs. She would have like basically walked over to the Super Nintendo, hit the eject button, didn't care where I was in that game, took that cartridge away and walked away.
Yep.
And that would
have
been. And
then the control. Yeah. In my parents' house, those controllers would have been gone for a week.
Yep.
Yeah. Right. Yep. Like they just wouldn't be there. So.
So I think it's all about like, what do you, you know, summarize, I don't have time to be mad at games. I don't, right? Like that's parenting, mortgages, getting kids to school, getting myself to work. I don't got time to be angry at a game.
Right? I used to have time to do that. We feel like I sound like I'm 30 years old. I'm not like some old man here. That's the funny thing is I just kind of gotten to this point where I'm like, you know.
Well, and then I don't know if maybe it's also a byproduct of what we're playing, Zach.
Maybe.
And I mean, he references in here Donkey Kong Country 3, Donkey Kong Country Returns 3D.
That is a perfect example of me actually having that reaction of like, this is just not me banging my head against this level is just not fun.
Right.
Right. And even if I do end up beating a level, I'm like, oh, good. I finally beat that level. I turn it off. And next time I think, what am I going to play? That is not, it's not something that it sounds as appealing the next time.
Right.
So, yeah. Which is probably why I got into like World 3 in that game and then just stopped playing. So,
Ain't nobody got time for that.
All right. So, thank you for the emails, Holden and Chris. Thank you. And let me cue up my music here.
Now, Zach, if someone wanted to email us a wonderful questions like these two, where could they do that?
Well, they could definitely. Do so through our social medias, social media, you know, it's not
media,
media, something. You can go Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram, at Nintendo Dads. You can email us nintendodads@gmail.com. Head over to youtube.com/C/Nintendo Dads to find all of our videos and the such. Yeah, that's where they are. There's no live episode this week because the internet is weird.
Sorry.
We're sorry about that.
Sorry, guys.
Of course, you can call in and leave us a voicemail, 929-25-NDADS. That's 929-256-3237. Big thanks to OC Remix for the music throughout the show, as well as to Carter Johnson for our amazing artwork. Go over to megacarter.tumblr.com and check her out. She's got good arts. Finally, if you want to change the world, head over to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review and written review. Seriously, people, the world is in need of those 5-star reviews. Of all the things in the world, what else could be more important?
Nothing.
In this time of refugees and all sorts of politics and whatnot, 5-star reviews, people. This that's what's important. No, not really. But seriously, if you want to subscribe, download, go over to iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and of course VGTribune.com for me, for Justin, for the invisible Jesse, and for all of you wonderful internet people. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Nintendo Dads.
It's like a...
Oh, dang it. It happens.
Seriously, again? What is wrong with you?
It's the soundboard thing. Oh, no. What's going on?